This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. A new women's history trail in Franklin, North Carolina, highlights the overlooked stories of entrepreneurial women in the western part of our state. It's the first of its kind in North Carolina, and it celebrates individual women as well as groups of women who made their mark on history. Lily Knepp is a reporter who covers western North Carolina at Blue Ridge Public Radio. She was there the opening day of the trail and joins me now from BPR in Asheville. Welcome back, Lily.
Hi, Frank. How are you doing today?
I am doing very well. Good to talk with you. Tell us about this trail. Where is it and how far does it go?
So the trail is right in downtown Franklin, and it starts at the Macon County Historical Museum. There are 9 sites on the trail, and it's just about a half mile, but you really get to see a lot of downtown Franklin. It's all of the sites have little plaques that mark all of the different women who are entrepreneurs, community members, and just leaders in the community. And you can really see downtown Franklin there. It's at the courthouse, there, right there at the plaza, and at our town square.
So, right. Well, tell us more about these sites. Give us an overview, the bird's eye view, and then we'll talk more about some of the particular women in the groups.
Absolutely. So a lot of the sites highlight, local social workers. We see the local general store that was run by a woman, and a lot of the theater where women worked, and many different women. MICA workers, and it really highlights all of the different sites in the town, and you're going to hear a lot more about each of the individual women a little later in the show.
I want to talk more about those individuals as well, but it does highlight groups of women, including the hat makers, the milliners of Franklin, who were a pretty important group, right?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite stories because it really shows the kind of entrepreneurial spirit. And, you know, historically, whenever we talk about fashion, it's sort of a stereotypical thing that women are interested in. But these women usually really used their knowledge of trends and bringing that fashion to Franklin to then start a local business and really be able to feed their families because of that.
You spoke with one of the honored guests at the opening day of the trail. Tell us about Dorothy Crawford.
She's just an amazing, sharp woman. It was such an honor to be able to speak with her. You know, she was a social worker beginning in 1952, and she worked there for over 30 years. And the social workers in that time period really did so much for the community. Dorothy told me a little bit about just the breadth of things that she had to do, and it was really amazing for her to be able to actually be there for the opening of the trail. You know, so often we honor people after they're gone, and it was just, felt really privileged to be able to speak with her on that day.
Here's a clip of Dorothy, who, by the way, is, I believe, 100 years old. Am I right?
That is correct.
Right. Well, here she is talking about her career many years ago.
Well, in the 50s, you had to do everything. You did adoption, you did child welfare, you did everything. Elder abuse, you name it. And I said, well, I'm not a nurse. And they said, but they wanted to see you. And I'd heard of the death rattles. And when I went in, that man was having what you call the death rattles. But he shook my hand, and I leaned over and kissed him, and he says, thank you for coming. And expired that night.
Dorothy Crawford, an honored guest at the opening day of the Women's History Trail in Franklin, North Carolina. I'm talking to Lily Knepp, a reporter at Blue Ridge Public Radio, who covers western North Carolina. What an incredible story, and to have that kind of oral history at a time when you're honoring some of the deeper history of women, it must have been exciting. What about some of the others who were there? Were there young people there as well? Are people interested in this new trail?
Absolutely. It was really great to be there for opening day. And there were over 100 people at the celebration. You know, it's a cold, very busy Saturday morning. And everyone came out to celebrate this, young and old, men and women. You know, men are also very welcome to come explore the Women's History Trail. And a lot of people were really inspired, I think, to learn about women in our community. I'm from Franklin, and I learned a lot that I did not know, that it is all just right in downtown Franklin. And
that's fascinating. Well, you talked to Sydney Giaquinto as well, who was there on opening day. Let's hear what she had to say.
What surprised me the most is that it spread down to, you know, a southern town like Franklin. This actually brought about a wave of independent spirits within our women, because they're actually able to open up shops like Lily Moore did over here on Main Street in 1908. And it let her be independent and just really allowed her to be actually involved in small business in a way that women were never able to before.
Sydney Giaquinto talking about the hat-making shop, and she attended the opening day of Women's History Trail in Franklin. I'm talking to Lily Knepp. So you grew up there. What surprised you the most? What was the biggest surprise for you, Lily?
Being able to meet Dorothy Crawford was really a great moment, but knowing the role that women had in business in the 19th century, you know, that's something that people don't really talk about, but they kind of put women behind the scenes. But like the local general store, which used to be in the Macon County Historical Museum, a woman ran the store. Running the accounts is running the store. And, you know, you can talk about her husband being in charge of it all day long, but it's really wonderful to hear the important roles that women played. And that's something that we don't get to highlight very much, especially not in Western North Carolina. That was really my favorite part.
Well, let's hear more about the genesis of this project. The co-leaders of the Women's History Trail are joining our conversation. Barbara McRae is the vice mayor of Franklin. She's been writing columns about the history of Macon County for the Franklin Press since the 1970s. Mary Polansky is with us, a board member of the Folk Heritage Association of Macon County, North Carolina, and they both join us from Blue Ridge Public Radio in Asheville. Barbara and Mary, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. Good morning, Frank.
Yeah. Good to talk with you. Barbara, let me ask you, this project started when you tried to put your house on the National Register of Historic Places in North Carolina. Is that right?
That's right. I was turned down. My house was built by Arabella Johnson, who was the first female editor and the first female publisher of the Franklin Press. And she held those roles at a time when hardly any women were in journalism in this country. And the more I learned about her life, the more remarkable I thought it was, and that she deserves some kind of recognition for that. And the house, I think, is also special. But they turned it down, the study committee. The reason I learned later was that she is not listed in the book Women of North Carolina. And the woman who told me that explained it to me. She said, no women in Western North Carolina from Asheville West were in that book. And I was just horrified. And I thought, well, we just have to change that. And I couldn't figure out exactly how to do it. I wasn't quite up to writing my own book. But a friend of mine gave me a book about women's historical sites, which included a chapter on women's history trails. And when I read that, I thought, this is the answer. This is how we'll do it. And the idea just spread from there.
I want to talk more about the idea and the way it spread, but I want to get a firmer grasp on who it is we're talking about, particularly these Milners. This is fascinating, this business. And it was really a kind of a cooperative business, too. Barbara, tell us more about the hat makers of Franklin.
Well, they all seem to have been in it together. They were friends. There was an older woman who had suffered quite a bit because of the Civil War and the aftermath of the Civil War, and she had had to come back. Her husband abandoned her. She had two children, came back to Franklin, was trying to make money for them to put them through school. And she tried several other things, and she hit on the idea of being a milliner, and she just made a profession of it and drew younger women into her orbit. They would go to the markets and find out what was in, bring it back to Franklin, and trim hats or make hats for the women in the countryside. And it gave these women an opportunity to be as fashionable as any woman in Atlanta or New York or even Paris. And that was important because there was a lot of stereotyping then. That was the era when people thought of the stereotypical hillbilly and the women living in these little isolated farmhouses wearing long pre-Revolutionary War clothing with little bonnets. And a woman who could walk around with her shoulders up and her fancy hat on her head was telling the world, you know, we're with it.
Yeah. Well, and the sad thing is, here are these women who are successful businesswomen who are conscious of the stereotype and probably doing more than anybody in the region to reverse the stereotype. And they're not in the book, Women of North Carolina. Mary Polansky, tell us how you got involved in this project.
Well, I was at the initial meeting where Barbara presented her ideas about the history trail. She had the support of our local Folk Heritage Association of Macon County. And in this meeting, Barbara presented the vision in a way that was remarkable. The chance to tell stories about these lives of women who made an incredible impact on the community over time was fascinating, and I was simply hooked. Had been a fan of Barbara's for a while because she wrote the local column for the history of Macon County for a while. She'll tell you about that, but I've been a fan for a while, but when I heard about Barbara's vision, again, to bring these women forward, I was like, okay, we're going to do this.
You're going to do it, and you did it. And so let's talk more about those women. Barbara, tell us about Eloise Griffith Franks Potts.
Oh, she's one of my very favorites since I'm the vice mayor. She was the first female mayor of Franklin. She served in 1960. We haven't had another female mayor since then. I am the vice mayor, but not, I don't know when we will manage to do that again. But she was a college graduate, and there weren't many college graduates in that day, men or women. A little group of them came together in Franklin. Eloise went to Meredith College, and she came to Franklin with her husband, and that's the way a lot of women came into our community. He was a businessman, very successful. She started out by teaching school. She taught in the graded school, then she taught in the high school. And one of her former students remembered her this way. She had good looks, energy, and intelligence. She was his favorite teacher. But then when the welfare department, the predecessor of the Department of Social Services, when it got started, she was offered the job of supervisor, and so she was the first supervisor of the welfare department or social services department. And she was a skilled administrator. She did a remarkable job. She ran the department for 23 years. She was the one who hired Dorothy Crawford, who we enjoyed so much having with us on our opening day. She kept that job until she retired. She suffered considerable personal losses. She lost two husbands during that time, twice widowed, kept going. And then after she retired at age 70, she ran for mayor of Franklin, and she won. And to all accounts, she did a remarkable job of really modernizing the town because of her administrative skills and her leadership skills. She only served one term, but she changed things.
This is the second time we've heard about women bringing the mountains in western North Carolina into the modern age, trying to modernize and look forward. This is so fascinating and so revealing. And again, without the trail and all this, would we have known? Mary, what steps are you taking to make sure that this trail is inclusive as well?
From the beginning, the project has focused on looking at who was there, and the women that were present from the history of Franklin, say, forward, of course, first were the Native American women. There was also a very small group of African American women, and during the time, during the Civil War and post-war, there was slavery involved in those women's lives, and then there were the white settlers. Franklin was founded about 1828, and so the influx of the settlers at that time brought women to western North Carolina who faced many challenges. It was a rough place to live and survive, and those lives all are important to us, and making sure we stay connected to the history, the significant history there of the Native Americans, that is a priority. But also these smaller numbers of the African American women bring forth stories that Barbara has helped us know, that create a sense of connectedness, not only between the Cherokee women and then the white settler women, but those lives that were bridged by the commitment that the slaves had to the sustenance of life, taking care of children, the work of survival on the farm, and those lives were all connected.
There's going to be a public art piece that reflects this as well. Am I right?
That's correct. Part of our project, and it's a big goal, but we're working toward it because we feel like we have such a significant project to present to Franklin. There will be a 7-foot statue of each one 7 foot, three women whose lives are connected. Rebecca Morris, who is the Native American, Sally, who was a slave woman at the same time, and then Timoxena Siler Sloan was a white settler woman. And their stories, as Barbara has researched, has a fascinating interconnectedness. And we feel like that it will stimulate curiosity and also amazement, and not only the people who are here local, but that people will come to see this as we continue to focus focus on our women's history trail, but present these concepts in terms of art.
Well, Barbara, I've only given you about 30 seconds, but we've already established that the women of Western North Carolina are in the vanguard in this state. Obviously, the first women's history trail is established in Franklin, North Carolina. Will this idea spread, and what's next for your trail?
I believe it will spread. We're planning on increasing the trail, adding new sites. We started in Franklin because it just made it more doable, but we would like to spread out through the county. We have some very vibrant communities where women have played important roles, and we want to recognize them also. And we've been so excited because of the connections that we've been able to make through the trail with other women in Western North Carolina, and especially our neighboring counties of Jackson, yes, Cashers area is Jackson also. Cashers area, Silva, Webster, in Cherokee, in Andrews.
It's going to spread. It's going to spread.
Yes.
Barbara
yes,
McCray is, and Mary Polanski are co-leaders of the new Women's History Trail in Franklin. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you for
Thank
having
you.
Us.
We appreciate it.
We Thanks, also Frank. Talked to Lily Canepa, a reporter who covers Western North Carolina for Blue Ridge Public Radio. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.